Let us pray. Eternal God, you create human beings in your image as the body of your love. In all our diversity, we bear the gifts of your Spirit. Open our eyes to one another. Open our hearts to your grace. Open our arms to your justice. Open our ears to hear your word and be recreated. In the name and Spirit of Christ. Amen. A reading from Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not the sinners we think Gentiles are. Yet we know that a person is set right with God, not by obeying laws correctly, but simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. So we have come to trust in Christ Jesus, so that we might be set right with God by faith in Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, because no one's relationship with God is perfected just because they obey the laws. Now, even though we are seeking to get right with God by trusting in Christ, we are still sinners. So does that mean Christ is getting us to sin? Certainly not. But trying to rely on getting everything right, which I've already rejected, is completely self-defeating. I adhered to the rules till it was clear they would get me nowhere. So I quit that and instead adhered to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in God's Beloved, who loved me and gave himself for me. Nothing trumps the grace of God. After all, if I could have gotten reconciled to God by getting it all right, then Christ died for nothing. The word of God for the people of God.
As you hear the good news from Luke's Gospel in the 7th chapter. There was a Pharisee who invited Jesus to eat with him. So Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, took his place at the table. Now there was a woman in that town who was a lesbian, and she brought a jar of alabaster jar of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, she began to weep. And weeping, she bathed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And she continued to kiss his feet and anoint his feet with ointment. Now, the one who had invited him thought, well, if Jesus knew the kind of woman this is, who she was, this person who is touching him, he wouldn't let her do that. She's a lesbian. Jesus spoke up and said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon said, Teacher, speak. There were two debtors who owed a creditor money. One of them owed 500 denarii. One of them owed 50 denarii. Neither one of them could pay. So he forgave both their debts. Now, which one do you suppose will love him more? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one who had a greater debt forgiven. Jesus said, I imagine you're right. And then, turning to the woman, he said, do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not offer water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but since I walked in, she has not ceased kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Here's what I think. Her sins, though many, have been forgiven, and she has received great forgiveness. Therefore, she has great love to give. But one who has not received so much forgiveness doesn't have much love to give. And then he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The people around the table were muttering amongst themselves, who does this guy think he is that he can just go around forgiving people's sins? But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. After this, Jesus went around to other towns and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the realm of God. The 12 were with him, and also several women that he had cured from various evil spirits and infirmities, including Mary, called Magdalene, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many more. And they supported them out of their resources. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I messed with that story, didn't I? I took out one little word, a woman who was a sinner, and I stuck in the word woman who was a lesbian. If you know that story, my guess is you reacted to that. Internally, there was some little chemistry going on there. You're going, wait, what is he doing? So where is Steve going with this? Is a lesbian the same thing as a sinner? If she was a lesbian, how does that fit in with the culture? What is the Simon going to think? You're doing all this stuff, right? Just because I changed the label. We do that. We make judgments about people of the millions of things that may or may not be true about somebody. We pick out one thing, make a label, and stick it on them. She was a sinner. And then the rest of the story goes the way it goes depending on what I think the label is. And I've got all these agendas and expectations depending on the label that I put on somebody, the judgment that I made. Well, he's an arrogant person. So whatever happens next is going to be the way I treat an arrogant person. And on we go with all of these things firing off in our heads about our own expectations and our own agendas until Jesus has to interrupt us and say, wait, do you see this woman? Well, no. We didn't see her. All we saw was our labels. All we saw was our judgments. Simon cannot see her because he's already decided she's a sinner and that's all he needs to know. So Jesus has to show Simon how to see her. And in the process, he sees Simon. It's not because he's got some omniscience. It's just because he pays attention. He just notices stuff. So here's what I noticed. I walked in, and a standard procedure is that you would have your servant wash the feet of your guests. And Jesus notices that Simon hasn't done that. But he says, I do notice that she did that. She washed my feet with her tears. I noticed they were tears. It's standard procedure that you greet somebody in our culture with a handshake. In their culture, it would have been a kiss, right? Both cheeks, just like they do in Italy and France. That's standard. Simon didn't do that. But Jesus has observed that the woman did that. She kissed his feet. It's sort of not at all unusual that if you're receiving a guest that you want to honor, you anoint them with oil. Simon didn't do that. Jesus noticed that, but he does notice that the woman has anointed him with her ointment. He's just observing. And because he's observing these things, he sees clearly some stuff that Simon totally misses that's going on in this woman's heart that she doesn't even have to say with words because Jesus is looking. When we make these judgments of people, what we see is our judgment. We don't see the actual person. And then we can't love them. We cut ourselves off from being able to love them. And it works both ways. We also can't receive their love. This is a story about judgment and labels. It's also a story about receiving. Jesus sits down to dinner. They didn't sit, they reclined with their feet out behind them. That's how this could all happen. And he's having this dinner, and in comes this stranger and starts doing this pretty extravagant kind of gushy thing all over his feet, crying, and it's real emotional, and it's kind of sensuous, and it's a little out of bounds, and it's actually almost obscene, and it's pretty inappropriate. And Jesus seems to have no clue, because what he does is nothing. What is wrong with Jesus with all this stuff going on? Now, it might be that you know the story and you're thinking, aha, he's going to let her do this so that he can make this theological point to Simon. Maybe. But you know what I think? I think he was tired. And people had been mean to him. And he'd been going from village to town to village to town, and his feet hurt. And for the first time, somebody walks in and does something nice to him. She gives him a foot rub. She gives him a little massage. She treats him with respect and gratitude. I think he did nothing because he liked it. He wanted it. It was a nice gift. He needed something like that. Simon missed out because Simon was too busy judging her to be able to receive her gifts. And the great thing about Jesus is that one of the most important gifts that he gave people sometimes was receiving their gifts. And it worked both ways. He got a gift, and the woman got a gift. And he understood that his gift that he received from that woman came because she received the gift of God. She had opened herself up to God's forgiveness, and her sins, though many, were forgiven. And because she had received so much, she had a lot to give. And Simon, though Jesus doesn't name him, hasn't done that. Whoever has not received such forgiveness doesn't have much to give because they didn't receive. Simon missed out. So these labels, these judgments that we put on people, cut us off both from being able to love them and also from being able to receive the gifts that they have for us. And we do that all the time. As soon as you've said, oh, he's an arrogant person, and we've shut the door and we've made it harder for us to receive their gifts. And we do this internally. We do it interpersonally, we do it socially, we do it culturally, right? So there's this language out there now, there's this stuff being said, well, they're Mexicans. And that automatically means we don't have anything to receive from them. We can just close the door or build a wall. Well, they're Muslims, so we don't need them. They're welfare recipients. What could they possibly give us? We just label somebody, put that judgment on, and then cut ourselves off from what they could give us. And that happens personally and interpersonally and culturally, and it happens institutionally. And the tragic thing is that in the United Methodist Church, we have institutionalized that label. We have a thing that says in our book of discipline that homosexuals, there's a label. What the heck does that mean? What does that even mean? Well, you don't know till you talk with each individual person that that's supposed to refer to. Because there are all sorts of different kind of gender identities and sexual orientations and expressions. And when you combine all of these various ways of doing that, there are millions of different varieties of that rainbow. And we've gone and nailed it down into one little label, stuck it on people and said, this is contrary to Christian teaching, so we won't honor your love. Can't get married, and we won't receive your gifts. You can't be a minister. The ironic thing is that what the woman does in this story looks a lot like ministry. What does she do for Jesus? She washes him, blesses him, and anoints him. Holy Moses, this is a baptismal renewal. She's performing the functions of an ordained clergywoman, And the church, which is Simon, says, she can't do that. She's a sinner. Because the church has done exactly what I did with this parable and just substituted a label. Instead of lesbian, we put in sinner. And that's the end of the story. That's why when the church does that, when the church cuts us off from either loving one another or receiving one another's gifts, when that happens, we do what Jesus did. We speak up. We say, Simon, I have something to say. So this church's reconciling congregation statement is partly a statement to individuals out there that says, we will welcome you. We're not going to do that label thing. We're not going to label people. We're not going to judge people. We will just welcome you. And we don't care what labels other people stick on you. We're not going to do that because it's stupid and false and evil and hurtful. We're not going to do that. When we say that, it's also a way of saying to the church, we have something to say. You're screwed up. This is evil. We're not going to sit by while you badmouth this woman while she is giving me sacred ministry. Shut up. Knock it off. It seems brutal, but that's what Jesus does. He interrupts injustice and says, I'm not going to let that happen. You need to see this woman. And it's important, not just because it's killing the church, although it is. You notice, right after this, what happens? He affirms the ministry of a woman. And the next thing is, he's being followed around not only by his 12 disciples, but all these women who are serving in ministry and supporting them with their resources. It's a model for church growth. But it's also important for every single one of us, spiritually. Because the fact is, there's only one reason to slap a judgment or a label on somebody. And that is anxiety about our own labels. The only reason I have to judge somebody else is that I'm anxious about how I'm being judged. I'm afraid that God has a label maker. And those labels either say beloved or not, worthy or unworthy, saved or not saved, righteous or sinner, however you word those labels. And whatever label we think we have, it cuts us off from receiving God's grace. Because if we think we're unworthy, then that grace isn't going to come to us. It's going to come to somebody who's worthy of it. And if we think that we are worthy, then we don't need grace. Neither way are we open to receiving it as a gift. And that's our most fundamental wound. That's the evil spirit that needs to be cast out of every single one of us. That doubt that we are totally, completely, unconditionally loved with delight and gratitude by God. That's what Paul is talking about in that letter to the Galatians that Marcia just read. You can try to follow the rules, but that's not what gets you in. You don't get a label of, I got an A. You don't get the bumper sticker that says, honor student. Because God has no labels. God actually just sees you, who you are. No labels, just love. And that is the only thing that we actually, really need and are hungry for. And it's only when we can let go of all of our judgments and all of our labels that we can really be reconciled with God and be reconciled with one another and realize that I can't slap a label on you unless I'm willing to have a label slapped on me. And as soon as I do that, I cut myself out. The only way is to do away with labels altogether. And when we do that, then we can deeply receive that love of God that's for everybody. All of us are sinners, and all of us are forgiven. All of us are broken, and all of us are beautiful. All of us are all these rainbow of things that God doesn't label. Just loves us. And when we can receive that, then we hear the word of God. Then we hear that promise of Jesus. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks that you love us so perfectly. Help us day by day to shed our fear of judgment that makes us judge. Help us receive so that we might give your infinite mercy and grace and love. God of love, we thank you for the grace you have shown us in Christ. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.